I'm Warren Alney. Revelations about massive data collection by the National Security Agency have reignited debate about striking a balance between personal privacy and secrecy in the interests of national security. We'll hear about the latest leaker of classified information and get very different accounts of how the law and the Constitution apply. That's later on To the Point. First, this story. Just after noon last Friday, John Zawahiri was shot to death by police in the library here at Santa Monica College after a shooting spree which began in a nearby neighborhood and during which he killed five other people, three on the campus. As the campus was evacuated, students and faculty and staff marched past his body lying on the sidewalk. Saul Gonzalez talked with students, making a gingerly return this morning.
Coming back on campus for the first time, it's a little bit eerie. Probably be a few days before I can get the courage to go back into the library.
I feel a little nervous and very paranoid because I never thought it would happen at our school. You know, it happens at other schools, but I never thought it would happen at our school.
Two of those who were shot last Friday were the longtime groundskeeper Carlos Franco and his daughter Marcella. She was on campus to pick up textbooks for summer school. Rick Chavez was a colleague of Franco's.
Him and I worked very closely on the weekends. I worked on Saturdays, so did he. And, that particular day, it was his day off. He took the day off to take his oldest daughter to the hospital. And, we just never imagined that he would even be here that day. And we didn't learn about it until Saturday. It was obviously pretty tragic, devastating to all of us here on campus. Very, very humble, loving man, great father, dedicated to his children and family.
Carlos Franco was best known on campus for maintaining a very popular rose garden on the main quadrangle. Susan Hunt is a professor of film studies. She was starting a final exam when the shooting started. Professor, good to have you on our program.
Glad to be here.
Describe, if you will, how this came down from your point of view.
We were about to start the exam, and a student came in and said there's a guy with a gun out there. And, of course, we stared blankly at him. And given that it's a film studies class, I'm immediately thinking this is out of a movie. And my first thought was actually, well, this is a dramatic way to get out of the final exam. And then he made it clear to us that he was serious. He started talking about seeing students running, and I just asked him, well, do you think that it's wise for us to get out that way? And he said no, and just as he said that, I heard gunfire that sounded very close. So we just said, get down, or I did. a chorus of voices, I think, said get down, and the students stayed calm. They got under tables. Things didn't go perfectly. The door didn't close all the way. We had to deal with that. The lights were on a dimmer. They didn't go down all the way. I turned those off, kind of got in my corner by my phone and took a couple breaths, thought about my mortality for about two breaths, then said, I have to get these doors locked because they do not lock on their own, and I needed to call campus police to get them locked.
Were the kids on their smart devices while all this was going on?
They were very, very, yes, very quick to get onto social media after they heard those doors locked. That was the collective, poof, and the department chair came by and said, "Hey, I'll be checking in with you." So we had a pipeline. The doors were locked. We didn't know it, but a student had left. As a student of mine was a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and he wanted to go see, I guess, for firsthand, and came back after the doors were locked and was knocking, and we didn't know, should we let him in? But we could see through a window that it was him. So he said, SWAT's already out there. And so it was fortuitous that we just stayed calm and things, worked out, although we were in the room for 2 hours.
Let me let our listeners hear a bit from one of your students, Carlos Fonseca. He remembers the incident this way.
It hit me because I was just by myself just thinking, what if I had just arrived 3 minutes later? Because what happened is I literally walked into class. I sat, and the professor handed me an essay from last week, and that's it. One guy walked in the room and he was screaming, and he's like, there's a gunman outside with a rifle. And then everybody panicked, of course, and then even the professor was kind of screaming at first, and then we locked the door. So I had to walk from the parking lot to the class at the Letters and Science building, and obviously I was on his pathway, and that happened 3 minutes later.
So, Susan Hunt, you had a close call, and your student had a close call.
Yes, it's several students did, and the student who warned us actually could have. He saw students leaving, and he could have left. Another student had left the room to use the restroom, but they both came back to warn us. And they're just amazing. I don't quite remember the panic as much as, as the student is. Student remembered it, but I'm sure it's like a blur. And especially when you're hearing the gunfire and you're not trained for this, you don't want to think about something like this happening.
What are you going to do about that exam that you never were able to give?
Oh, well, I was lucky in that I was able to work out a situation where I could let students do a project on their own to make up for this, or I gave those that really wanted the closure an option of coming back to finish the project in the classroom, and a few are. They feel they need to come back together and face it and close off the semester together, and we're going to have a little party after.
Okay, and there's talk about the future. Here again is student Carlos Fonseca.
I actually graduate tomorrow, so I'm still debating on whether or not to let this incident ruin my graduation ceremony, and just, you know, whether or not to walk or... We have rehearsals, and we also have the actual ceremony, which is going to happen at 5. And there's just a lot of things going through my mind. You know, it's going to be at the stadium, and it's so many people, and it's just, and I know that it's natural to kind of think that way and to be paranoid.
Professor Hunt, are you going to turn out for the graduation? Do you think that it's a good idea to hold it so soon after that event?
You know, that's a good question. I will probably be there. I am going to be on campus tomorrow for the group that wants to come back for the makeup exams. I'm just going to stay on. And it is true. There are some of my students that just feel too traumatized.
Well, Susan Hunt, a professor once again of film studies at Santa Monica College, thanks for describing the experience.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Brandon Devine produces the membership drives for KCRW. He works in the Liberal Arts Building, which is adjacent to the library. It's the same building where Professor Hunt was teaching her class. And Brandon's here in the studio with me. Brandon, good to have you.
Thank you, Warren.
Tell us your experience.
Well, just like any morning, I was at my desk, and originally the Liberal Arts Building faces the street and the parking lot where the events took place prior, and we heard a few loud pop noises, and one of my colleagues remarked that it sounded like a car backfire, And then soon after, we heard, just seconds later, we heard a few more pops, this time a little bit louder. And the Liberal Arts Building is an older building, and our office is actually adjacent to an SMC department for psych services. And there is a door that connects the two, but the door never opens. Basically, you know, we're not part of SMC. We're the KCRW office. And that door flung open, and there was a young man who ran through saying that there was a man with a gun and to run. And so normally I would run to the door and lock it, but my first instinct that the man was close behind and he was coming from that room. So I basically ran as fast as I could out of our office across the hallway. At the time, I thought was police. I saw a man at the end of the hallway, walking casually our direction, and I just kept running, and I ran across the quad and to the only other place I know on campus, which is the station. So I came to the station, and basically, I came to the west entrance of our station, and we had a band that day, and they were out taking promotional photos, and so I just told them, "There's someone with a gun. Everybody needs to get inside." And that's where we ended up.
When you were in the hallway, you said you saw a man that looked like he was a SWAT officer.
Yes.
That appears to have been the gunman.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't know. In fact, once I tried to collect my composure back at the station, one of the Morning Becomes Eclectic producers, one of the music producers, asked me what happened and if I saw the shooter. And I said, the only people I saw was I saw a police officer in our building. And I also saw a few people in the quad, which of course I told them to get inside. And it wasn't until later there were two other people from my office that ended up back at the station as well. And one of them had a pretty good gut feeling that actually was the shooter that we saw in the hallway, because she had seen him too. And at the time, there were so many different accounts coming out. At one time he had a shotgun, at one time he had a handgun, at one time. He was black, white, Asian. We didn't know. And so I basically told her as much. We don't know, and let's wait until we hear a little bit more. But after about an hour or so, police came to evacuate us at the station, and they walked us through the library, or not through the library, but in front of the library, and through what appeared to be some of the belongings of the shooter. Were laid out, and then we walked a little bit further, and we walked right past his body, and that was the man I saw.
Another of your colleagues, we won't name him because he doesn't want to talk to us, but he got a lot closer than you did and actually saw the man's expression.
Well, yeah. Oh, well, actually, a lot more than that. He was following us. He was following us out of the liberal arts building, and he got as far as the end of the hallway, and he looked outside and thought it might be better to go back and go back to our office and lock the door. And as he was walking back down the hallway, by that time the shooter had been passing our door, and so he actually asked. He thought the man was also police, and so he asked, where are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? And the man said, I don't know, and kept walking. And so my colleague said, okay, well, take care, and he went back in the office.
So Brandon, how did it feel this morning when you came back to the campus?
Well, I also. Outside of my 9-to-5 for the station, I volunteer my time with one of the music programs. So I came back on Sunday. I came back yesterday, and I actually came about an hour and a half before I was supposed to come into the studio to give myself some time to go back to my office and kind of work through what had happened. The way that I've looked back at it, it's so fragmented. It's just specific images and specific events. And so I've been able to, or I attempted to come back and just kind of walk through everything and maybe put everything together. Because at the time I didn't know who he was, I didn't know what was happening, and so now, now that I have a little bit better of an understanding, I tried to walk through everything and try to just digest what had happened.
When Professor Hunt said it was all sort of a blur in a way, you kind of nodded your head. I saw.
Yeah, I mean that's how I've been able to recall it. I mean It's one thing to follow a news story. It's another thing to follow along with everybody else and also be part of it. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know, what had happened before us or even after. And so these things have been coming out, not in order. So I came back to my office, and I just tried to put some order to it. And I also on Saturday. They released the lockdown for us to reclaim our belongings, and I came on Saturday and I picked up my car the second I heard that we were able to, and for some reason, although I don't even know if I'd be driving my car on Saturday, there was something that I just needed to have it, And I'm one of those people that, you know, when I don't feel well, I don't sit on the couch. I still have to be active. And for me, I wanted to come in today, and I wanted to still do the music program yesterday. And then that's just kind of how I deal with stuff. So
was there some moment at which you thought, oh, my God, that could have been me?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, I've thought that a lot, but for me, I found myself getting worked up over the what ifs and what could haves, and for me at least, the way that I've been processing it, I've really just tried to think of what did happen, and try to give that some context. And you know, I'm incredibly lucky, as are my colleagues, but there were also people that weren't as fortunate as us, and you know, it's a process, and so it's just a lot to digest, and just coming back to the station and hearing everybody else's point of view, it's a piecing together of events. So
I think everybody on campus feels the same way. Those of us at KCRW certainly do, and thank you very much for giving us your perspective on what took place. Brandon Devine, again, who does membership drives for KCRW. Dr. Chuy Tsang is the superintendent of Santa Monica College. Welcome to our studios here on campus at this very difficult time.
Yes, thank you, Warren.
I know you're going to have a vigil tonight. It'll be ongoing when we broadcast this program. Tell us about that and what you have in mind.
Well, the vigil is for the college to come together, and also we've invited the community of Santa Monica to come and attend this event so that we can have a place and a time to mourn and to pay tribute to those who have died in this senseless lack that we witnessed.
You said to me earlier that there was a need to reclaim the campus. What did you mean?
Well, when a random violent act like this takes place, our sense of security is being violated. And there's a lot of fear. Also, there's a lot of sadness with lives being lost. And we want to make sure that we don't abandon what we do and change and give in to the horror and the violence that are around us. We want to help our students to understand that how they can turn this sadness into strength as they move on, and also for our community as a whole to turn the fear that we have into force, a force of a positive force, that how they can use to make this a better society for all. You know, we have all these young people that have a whole life to look forward to, and they can be very effective agents of change for us. And so we definitely don't want any more of these kind of random violence to spread further than what we have seen. There's far too many incidents like this already.
What is this like for you as the superintendent, as the person in charge?
Well, the number one thing for us when something like this happened is that we want to make sure that everyone is safe here. You know, we're fortunate that we didn't have any greater loss of lives that we had. And we want to thank all of the professional reaction of our law enforcement officers on campus, as well as the officers from the Santa Monica Police Force. Their quick reaction and their professionalism really helped us limit the further loss of lives in this case. The very alert reaction of many of our staff members on campus also helped many of the students to get out of harm's way. And we have very vivid incidents of some of these heroic acts, and I'm sure more will be coming out after the as time goes by. As we gather the information, and some of that's already been carried in a news media, we want to restore the sense of security for our students and for our staff. We have a mission here. A mission is really to provide education. We know we're one of the portals that anyone can come to, through which one can get a first-class education. We know many people, many students take this as the one of the very few opportunities that they can get ahead in their lives. And this is a mission that we take very seriously and is shared by everyone working in this institution. And we want to be able to restore the calm that we have on campus and move forth with our education mission.
This is by necessity and design an open institution. How do you maintain the openness and still have the kind of security that you need?
I think this is a issue that we will be looking at very seriously in conjunction with our partner institutions in the city, especially with the city's police force. Of course, we know that anytime under all circumstances or any circumstances, we need to learn from this and improve the security procedures we have on campus just to be ready in case if ever this happened again.
Do you anticipate shutting the campus down in any way?
No, we are an open campus and we want to maintain it that way. We don't want to yield to this act of violence and give up our freedom to enjoy this open campus. You know, this is a facility of the community. We know a lot of our neighbors who come here and make use of different facilities on this campus, in addition to the thousands of students who come from all neighborhoods of Los Angeles. And this community has provided funds for us to rebuild this campus, and now it's a very welcoming place. And it's important for us to keep this an open place that anyone in our community can access.
You're going to have graduation tomorrow is scheduled.
Right. Graduation is happening tomorrow, and we will go on as planned. This is one of the steps that we want to take to strongly affirm to the students and to the community that we're back in business. We have, as our commencement speaker, President Nikias, of President of USC, who will be here tomorrow. And he understands the kind of incident that we have undertaken because he, too, in his institution had fallen victim to some of these violent acts. So, you know, likewise, he's not giving up, and he'll have the strong message for us.
What's the bottom line?
Well, with the cooperation of all of the law enforcement agencies here in the city and in our surrounding communities, we know that this is a very safe place, and we know that students can feel comfortable coming back onto campus. I have been walking the campus ever since since Saturday, and I didn't feel any. I don't have any sense of danger. And a lot of students have come back on the campus. Business is going on as usual, and I know that is the case. And we want to make sure that and our faculty and staff have returned, and we're helping them deal with some of the issues. But by and large, we're back to normal. And we want to get to that point as soon as possible.
Good luck. It's a privilege to talk with you.
Thank you very much.